Good morning. Aloha kakahiaka. Our service today honors two women in Shinran's life who supported and cared for him and whose farsightedness assured us of Shinran Sama's teachings in our temple. Today's Dharma message will be delivered by Reverend Jan Youth. Jan Youth retired from a memorable ministry at the Betsuing following a teaching career in the DOE. She is always a joy to hear, and we welcome her back on this Eshini Day special occasion. The title of her message is Roka wa Kyo, Six Harmonies and Respectfulness. Reverend Youth.
Good morning. It is so nice to be here and to join you in this morning's service. And you know, I just really appreciate it. Don't you folks feel like, don't you have that feeling? Yeah, that's how much your voices together in harmony actually moves people. So you need to know that music really has the magic to calm the beast or something. Well, anyway, but the idea is that I actually have to like breathe. So thank you very much. I want to thank you for your invitation to join with you on this significant BWA service. And, you know, I am reminded that without services like this as memorials, do you know it is easy to forget important people in our lives? And now I can really appreciate, you know, I'm not sure what generation most of you are, but I think people up to my mother's generation had incredible memories. They had memories to know when grandma's memorial was, when grandpa's was, when daddy's was, when her sister's. She can remember, and she will make it a point to remember. Now, someplace between my mother and me and my sister, we're not as good about holding these traditions in our family. And so that's why when you hold services like this, it is very, very important. It's a very good way of being able to come to a service to remember, as a way to express gratitude, and as a way to be inspired. In considering today's message, you know, I was teasing. Who was I talking to this morning? You see, my memory is good but short. But I said, you know, I went to my old computer and I look, hey, 2007, I was here at Eshini Day. And I said, you know what, Jen, you better be careful. But I considered what would be my focus, you know, and I commented to Reverend Motoyoshi. I said, you know, there are only 10 letters. And so I said, what should I talk about? And she said, women. And I go, of course. How simple. So I said, right. But exactly what about women? And I thought about the role that women play in everyone's life, including other women. What was clear was that image for me was the role in my own family of the women of the past and even current. Because in our family now, we have four generations aging from age 89 to 3 years old. In fact, at an exercise class that I attend, I hear older ladies and younger ladies attest to the phenomena that the dynamics of a household is dependent on the woman. In other words, the alpha lady, you know? If she's not happy, nobody else is happy. And it's kind of like, you know, Cesar Millan talks about the pack leader? Well, the woman of the house, she is alpha female, she is pack leader. And my mother, in her wisdom, warned me, and I think you guys might recognize this, more the women, I think, more women, that there could only be one queen in the kitchen. You guys laugh. That means you guys know about this. Okay, so what my mother has told me is universal, okay? And she said, you do not ever upset the ranking of the kitchen goddess. And how true, how true. You know, like I say, you may laugh because you hear stories like this, but if you were one who created disorder in the ranking, you knew the consequences, right? It's long. I mean, kitchen goddesses do not forget. You know, it showed up in my family, I think, not too long ago, when the women gathered in the kitchen, and this was just to do the dishes, okay? And there's the usual from the hostess, no, I will wash the dishes. You folks sit down, you folks are guests.
and the other side say, no, 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 we want to help you. You heard that conversation in your houses, okay. And then it's almost a fight, because then they'll say, well, where do you keep your soap? Oh, why do you keep it there, you know? And then from the other side is, well, how come you're not washing the glasses first? Well, because I washed them with a separate water. Oh, well, don't wash the plates because I don't want them to get broken. Oh, where's the switch for your garbage disposer? I don't have one. What? You know? And before you know it, it moves from questioning the kitchen routine of the kitchen goddess, and then it gets really dangerous because the next level, it has now escalated from where and why and all this, but it was the next level is when you hear the, you should. You guys have done this before, yeah? This is not unusual, right? When they start to say stuff like, you know, you really should use Dawn. It's much better than Joy. Okay? Or they'll say, you know, you should make your heater hotter so that you don't have to dry it as much. That's the kitchen goddess, and that's the rule of the house, and that's the great battle between kitchen goddesses. So, when I go to people's houses, and don't be offended if I go to your house and you say, no, 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 don't wash the dishes. Guess what? I will not wash your dishes. Okay? So, what we have is a nature of households functioning on a basis of the whims, the preferences, the opinions, and even reasoned conclusions of the women in charge of the household. And what guides us as Buddhist women in how we conduct the affairs of our domain? You know, it's kind of like, this is my kingdom. But if some of you have the copy of the Metta, Reverend Muneto has put in the kanji of An, peaceful. And guess what? I just loved it, Sensei. You did this perfectly just for me. The kanji for An, peaceful, is house, and underneath house is woman. So it is so appropriate, you know? Okay, and I thought, perfect. Peace is tempered by the woman in the house. And the combination of house and woman creates peace. So, you know, now I think about it, no wonder when generations ago a woman married, it was important for her husband to have a house to bring the wife home, because if you didn't have a house to bring the wife home, you was not going to get any peace. Well, this morning I thought I'd share with you something that I found while I was at IBS. In the dormitory, in the living room, the calligraphy was done by a close relative of the Munshu, or Zen Munshu Sama. Now, at the time that we were at the seminary, Ranald Fujikawa and I were the only two Jodo Shinshu students, and neither of us really could understand. I mean, we could get our Nelson's Kanji dictionary out, but we were not able to capture the fullness of the scroll. Now, fortunately for us at that time, there was a Zen abbess from Korea. Her name was Bongak Sunim. I think Sunim is title. And she read the calligraphy for us, and she did the research to locate its source. And I wish I had written everything down that she had told me, because it took me a long time to finally find it. It has taken me several sources to recall the scroll and the text. And I asked Dr. Bloom, I asked Rinpoche Toshima, I asked Hagyo Sensei, because I was preparing for a seminar in Hilo. Now, Japanese, you really got to know, it is not an auditory kind of language. You gotta see the kanji. So as I'm telling Reverend Toshima, you know, is there something like six? I saw this school, it had six in harmony, and he's trying to figure out what, you know, what am I saying? And I gave him what I thought was the kanji, and he said, no, no, no. Ache sensei mo se dame dame. Well, while I was in Hilo, Reverend Takahashi, after going through and listening to me and trying to figure out what I was trying to say, he went through and he found it. And I said, oh, thank goodness. This is the characters. Roku, six, wa, and kyo. Wa is harmony, kyo is respectfulness or respecting. It is found in the larger sutra. Now, for our senseis who use the Japanese text, in Inagaki's translation, it doesn't give a full explanation of the roku wa kyo, the scroll, but it is a practice.
of the monks.
And the idea is these factors were the conditions that were necessary for harmony in the monastery. And I thought, well, how perfect. They put it in the dormitory. How perfect. You know, in the dormitory, and this is not like Johnson Hall and Freer Hall. These are not 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 21-year-olds. These are 45, 50, you know, 25 adults living together in a household trying to keep harmony, okay? And Randall once told me, he said, you know, your way of seeing clean is not the way all people see clean, you know? And I said, yeah, maybe for some people, clean is, if you put the rag across it, it's clean. Women understand this, don't we? Okay? That's just wiping. That doesn't mean clean. Clean is when you no longer see the smudges. So when it's no longer dirty, it's clean. Okay, well, the six factors that I wanted to share with you in the monastic life, the first one is to engage in the same bodily actions like the collecting of food. In other words, the monks had a routine in the morning of how they all got up and did their chants, and then they went out to collect food, and then they returned. So they did things in the same way. They also did the same things in terms of engage in verbal actions. You know, the recitations, the chanting. They also engage in the same mental deeds, the meditations and the thoughts. And they kept the same precepts or the rules of the monastery. Number five, they shared in the material offerings. They shared all things. And they had the same views, the interpretations of the teachings. Well, I thought, you know what? That's in the larger sutra. And it just as glimpse of a mention, and if maybe our Furusawa sensei can go check in the Daimuro Jukyo, you can find the Rokuwakyo for me and tell me what it really says in Japanese, okay? But I said, you know, in our ordinary lives, these factors also foster harmony in our homes. The Sangha of Buddha's monastic period is not different from the Sangha of today. The Sangha within our homes. So I said, let's think about that. The first one, what would be the kind of bodily actions that we would take part in our households? Yeah? So we would basically be looking at how do we act in a way to result in peace and harmony. In our households, we may resist actions that disturb the harmony of the household. And I think you see that happening, right? It's like, don't talk to mom right now. She's not really happy. Or, you know what, let dad rest, okay? So even if you may feel frustrated or annoyed with your spouses or with your children, you do take some time to distance yourself so as not to become caught up in the cycle of frustration and anger. You know the word time out? How many of you have used time out in your own practice with your children? Well, now that I watch my granddaughter, yeah, and we have time out, but guess who takes the time out? It ain't her, it's grandma, because I am so exasperated. Sierra, grandma's got to go take time out, you know. I take time out so that I don't get so caught up and just get frustrated with her. I go and I lock myself in the bathroom, and I stay there until I settle down, okay? So that, you know, we do things that way in our households so that we can maintain a level of peacefulness and respectfulness. That's the whole point, right? The other thing is, the second thing is to use the verbal actions, is that to we use kind and respectful languages to reduce stress, to ease suffering, and language in many forms. Word, tone. In Hawaii, the idea is it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. Do you know that that can cause more fights in a family? If you grew up kind of tater like me, yeah, it was a hard lesson for us to learn that when you got called, you said yes or hi. You don't say what. Yeah, but well, that was one of my responses. And you know, that's one of the most powerful responses, because you could be a very pleasant you know, they call you Janet, what? Or Janet, what? What a difference, right? Same word. Man, the different tone, okay? So, in some households, the conversation exchange is kind of like teasing or sometimes put-downs, you know? And in some households, the level of conversation is quite loud. What do you think ours is? Loud and teasing. That's our household. So sometimes when people come, my brother's friends would come to our house, they would say, wow, you folks always mad at each other. And I had to say, no, actually, we like each other. If we didn't like you, we wouldn't even talk to you. But regardless of the difference in the transmission, each family has a code of communication. But one common lesson, I think, of all cultures is the ability to say, thank you, and I'm sorry. Everyone, I think, is one of those two sets of words that really make a difference. Now, the third one is to be mindful of our thoughts, our opinions, and judgments that result in the well-being of others. To be aware of how we are thinking. And you know what? This is where we pick up the prejudices of a family. Every family has a set of attitudes and values that get transmitted through the generations. And whether it be racial kind of biases, whether we had some kind of judgments about groups of people or ages of people, those things get so clearly transmitted. You know, I grew up thinking that to be old was not good. But now that I'm old, I really want my children and my grandchildren to understand that aging is wonderful. That the whole point is not to remain forever young. You don't want to do that. It's not too fun. Now, the fourth one is to be in agreement with the principles and the philosophy of the society of which you are a member. And you know what? This is probably very difficult, essentially, because when you get born and you're raised in a set of culture and social norms, you don't really separate yourself from them. That's why I'm really brown since I go to the pool. I overheard this conversation with two ladies who were discussing an older conflict that they had in the community when, remember the song Aleo had on Friends? And it created quite a stir because a high school class wanted to use it for their graduation, and there were some people who felt that it wasn't appropriate because it promoted a certain religious position. Well, their conclusion, and I'm listening to this in the pool, and their point was that this is a Christian country, and those who cannot accept that should leave. Well, I almost drowned. I went, and all the water went in my mouth. But I thought, I better stay out of that discussion because that's not really a good place for Buddhist priests to be, okay? But I thought, how strongly was this held by these women? Or was it at the moment just an offensive response about their belief? You know, that maybe something offended them, and that's what's their response. So I really wasn't sure. But it made me think, how do we live in accord with the principles and the beliefs of our country? And we struggle with that every single day. Whenever we see the news, this probably gonna give me away, but you know, when we hear George Bush, we struggle with that. You know, how do we support the office of the presidency and yet not necessarily agree with some of his decisions, yet it is because we have our constitution and the way our country is made up, we have the opportunity to question that. The fifth one is to consider the attitudes that we have about sharing, because the fifth one was about being able to share things with other monks, okay? And I thought, well, this one is not hard. We are very, very sharing people. The only thing is sometimes we carry with us a different kind of attitude when we share. Sometimes we share because we have and others don't have, and sometimes we feel, oh, poor thing, they don't have. Sometimes we share because, yes, I really am grateful that I can share, that I have enough to share, you know? Yesterday, I attended the Ho'olaulea Na'o Molelo Nawahine, but it was downtown, and you know, one of the routine practices for this organization
in the registration is to bring canned food. And they use that to feed the hungry of Hawaii. And I thought, yeah, why do we have to pay $12 for registration? Why not bring it in food? Okay. But I thought that was an idea of, can we share from the idea of gratitude? We share because we are grateful. And the last one, the ability to develop right views. And this one in our household can be very, very, you know, it has caused the longest arguments in our houses. To note the distortions of our points of view. And you know, now I understand why they call it a point of view, because it comes down to one point. And you know what, there are a thousand other points, but we only have this one point, okay? And it is difficult to separate our point of view. Do you notice that when you argue, you're trying to convince somebody else that your point of view is right? Yeah? Okay. Sometimes in our families, we can go on for days with no resolution in sight. And like for our house, we just get kind of tired of talking to each other and just tired of listening to each other. It's like, same old, here we go again, you know? But I said, can you imagine if we really had serious issues? Because what we're arguing about is football. Kind of like life and death, you know? We're arguing about football. And I said, what if we really had something serious to discuss? Now what would we do, you know? But when I consider the calligraphy and where it was displayed, I think it was very appropriate where we have people who are Buddhist that are studying, people who are not Buddhist but are living there, and you have this scroll, and then I realized not all of us looked at the scrolls that we have, you know, or even consider the impact that it has. And I think for most of us, we are better seeing ourselves as how we conduct our lives, you know, of ways that don't promote harmony. I think we can see that pretty quickly. And I think we become very critical about ourselves. And we do more often beat up on ourselves and think badly about how we feel. And while it is important that we are aware of this, it doesn't end there, you know. For most of us, we may feel junk when we have not been a source of peace and harmony in our households, because if there is an argument or is there any kind of disruption, nobody's happy in a household. You know? And everybody has a feeling that they don't want this to continue. For most of us, we feel junk and we try to make ourselves feel better. You know, me, I go shopping, I might go to a movie, I talk to a friend, I go to the gym. But the actions that I take in and of themselves are not bad. But yet the reason that I'm doing it doesn't really resolve the issue, right? It is not a direct response to the disharmony I have created. So just as the six conditions of early Buddhism guided the Sangha, the monastic Sangha, we can take these six factors and really make them relevant guides in our lives. They made sense 1,000 years ago, and they still make sense today. The scroll, Roku Wakyo, is, I think, very much the mission of women of our households, no matter what generation. They intuitively work becomes part of their function. They operate to transmit and nurture these elements with their families, whether they may be the wife, mother, sister, aunt, or cousin. And what may be the greatest challenge is not only working to promote harmony in our households, but to promote it in our community life. In the midst of chaos and hostility and disorder, we can work to create order in our environment and in ourselves. The teachings, the Dharma, are the precious means to help us live a full life, an awakened life. We need to just start. And it begins with gratitude of the teachings. And I am grateful that I had the encounter with Bongak Sunim, with the calligraphy that she shared with us. And that as encounter has pushed me to consider that this idea of peace and harmony is not just defined by me, not just my ideas of peace and harmony. Peace and harmony is a common wish of many, and yet the elements for peace and harmony are as diverse as the opinions and preferences. And of these, we need always to be vigilant that we don't overcome ourselves with confusion, and that our opinions and our preferences do not become our reference point or the reality by which we operate, and we conduct our lives rather as starting points for our awakening. Such an awakening, I think, will compel us to move beyond judgments and preferences toward a more richer and fuller understanding of peace as an objective reality and peace as a way of being. Thank you so very much for allowing me to be part of this Ishinni Kakushinni Day Memorial Service. If you can recite with me, Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Thank you.